broadcasting from the most confused, dumbed down, manipulated, and brainwashed nation on the face of the planet with all the news they hope and pray you never hear. This is the Power Hour. All right, going to get right back down to it. Hour number three is now in session. All right, this is Dave.
And Joyce, and I want to tell you that there has been a lawsuit filed now against Obama or for the production or release of his birth certificate. In fact, it was Dr. Keyes who ran against him working with the Republican Party. And I want you to hear what allegedly is being said from someone who got the information off of an interview or off of a senatorial campaign debate that was conducted in Illinois. This gentleman contacted us and said that during the senatorial campaign there, and I'm talking about the senatorial campaign when Barack Obama was up for senator, that there was a debate between Barack Obama and Dr. Keyes. The debate was videotaped, and during the debate, Dr. Keyes stated, "You are not even a natural-born citizen," to which Barack Obama replied, "That's okay. I'm not running for president. I am only running for senator." Well, there's a question now. Does anybody know where we could find or locate this tape of an interview that took place between Alan Keyes and between Alan Keyes and Obama in Chicago? This is pretty impressive, and
that's
also
huge. That is huge.
Yes,
I mean, for him not to flat out deny it right then and there, and just to basically say that's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like an admission.
Yes, so, and
it's
also
it's like, so what? I'm not running for president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't catch me.
Oh man.
And also, Rosary Films now has offered a $1 million reward for Obama's certified long-form birth certificate. Think about that. Rosary Films offering a $1 million reward for the long-form birth certificate so that it can be certified by the U.S. Supreme Court. It's getting pretty hairy right now. Now, my question is, I'm wondering if this is not going to be part of the coming apart of this country, if all of a sudden that hits the fan, the COMEX issue hits the fan, the stock market tumbles,
ooh.
Where are we going to go from here?
Ooh, consider this. Let's throw this into the mix here. What if this whole thing does hit the fan? What if the illegitimate occupation of the office of the president comes to light? Could this be the quote-unquote excuse used to allow the dollar and the economy to collapse? I mean, the confidence in the entire system would fall. Everybody, I mean, of course, the inner cities would go into riots. I mean, you think the Rodney King riots in L.A. were something? That would be just, you know, that's like a warm-up.
Right, that would be nothing in comparison.
Absolutely.
And also, I think these are reasons to be watching what's happening, and I think our listeners can see beyond the news to know what's happening. Also, real quickly, a health alert. You know, headphones and that are on MP3 players and iPods, new research has now found that they can override a pacemaker. Now, this is something that should have been known a whole long time ago, but exposure to the headphones can force a pacemaker to deliver signals to the heart, causing it to beat without regard to the patient's underlying heart rhythm. Think about this. What does this do to people without a pacemaker in? Just how powerful are those headphones used with the MP3 players? Because they can also temporarily deactivate implantable defibrillators. Think about that. We did not observe any reactions when the headphones were at least 1.2 inches from the skin surface. But if you have it connected to your ears, though, it can override a pacemaker. You know what? Those could kill you. Those headsets could literally kill you. We'll be right back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour.
In the summer of 2004, The Power Hour released its first documentary production,
9/11 in plain sight created a wave of controversy that continues to this day. The mere display of certain photographs and video footage resulted in attacks, ridicule, and the shunning of anyone who dared discuss their implications. Until now. 9/11 Ripple Effect is the long-awaited sequel that confirms the simple fact that the official story of what happened on September 11th of 2001 is the conspiracy theory. Featuring Major General Albert Stubblebine, Colonel George Nelson, Major Doug Rocky, airline pilots Russ Wittenberg, Fred Fox, and Glenn Stanish, as well as William Rodriguez and Phil Jahan, all coming to the same conclusion. The terrorist scenario is the cover story designed to conceal the truth from the American people and the world. Mainstream media reports are exposed as biased, and in some cases completely fabricated to continue the deception. Get your copy of 9/11 Ripple Effect from The Power Hour. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Don't let the questions go unanswered. Denial condemns us all.
Fuel prices are up and down, biting into everyone's budget. If you're ready to start saving at the pump, Fuel Saver Technologies can help. With a small squeeze of our fuel conditioner in your gas tank, more of each gallon of fuel will combust, improving your fuel economy 10 to 20% or more. Completely safe for all engines, gas or diesel, we guarantee that your savings will exceed the cost of our product. Our fuel additive reduces the emissions and maintenance costs and reduces the friction of engine moving parts. Our 2-ounce consumer squeeze bottle costs only $8 and treats 100 gallons of gasoline or 50 gallons of diesel. If you buy a case of 16 or 32 bottles, the price drops to $6 a bottle and we'll ship it to you for free. Call us toll free at 866-768-7811 or look online at FuelSaverINC.com. Start saving on fuel today, 866-768-7811. Online, FuelSaverINC.com. Spend a little and save a lot.
If you're an adult male, you need to listen to this information. By the age of 60, half of all men have a prostate-related problem. In the past, many men have turned to saw palmetto to support prostate health. But now, there's something much better. It's called Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate contains 3,000 times more healthy plant sterols than ordinary saw palmetto. In fact, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same benefits of one dose of Beta Prostate. It's guaranteed to provide noticeable support even if you're already having prostate-related health issues. Now you can get Roger Mason's Beta Prostate formula through this special offer. And if you call now, you'll learn how to get a free bottle of Beta Prostate with your order. Feel a difference or your money back. Here's how to order.
Call now to order Beta Prostate. Dial 1-800-457-9914. Support your prostate with safe, all-natural ingredients. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Onkleist.
And Joyce Riley.
We all know knowledge is power, and that's why we call this the Power Hour. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors of this radio station, or the movers, shakers, and policymakers that cringe when people exercise cognitive skills. All right, here we go, folks. Hour number three of today's daily exercise and thinking outside of the corporate cage is now in session. This is Dave.
Enjoy.
And this hour, we're going to be talking with Kevin Barron. Now, Kevin, along with Chris Gunn and Lloyd Chapman, who have also been on this program, are from the American Small Business League. And as we know, big business is taking it on the chin. And I got a funny feeling that small businesses are going to be taking it on the chin as well. Kevin Barron was named Director of Government Affairs for the American Small Business League, and he coordinates the advocacy and lobbying efforts of the organization. And he works with legislatures at the state and national levels, the chambers of commerce and small businesses to develop and deliver effective message regarding small business advocacy. Now, we all know that the small businesses are what make this country tick. We don't hear about them that much. We hear a lot about the big businesses all getting the bailouts and a lot of money being shuffled into their hands. But the small business owners and the Small Business League basically have been left out in the cold, and this is basically illegal. So let's talk a little bit about the small business, and then I also want to talk about this G20 meeting, where this country is going economically and how this is affecting your efforts. Welcome to the program, Kevin Barron.
Oh, thank you, Dave, and good morning, Joyce.
I think, well, she's passed the baton to yours truly for the time being, so I want to kick it right off. I want to underline what's been going on. Now, there are a certain amount of monies that are supposed to be earmarked for the small businesses, but that's been redirected as if we didn't know. How are they, first of all, how are they pulling this off, and how much money are we talking about?
Well, they were talking about a massive amount of money. We've seen, so to start, by law, 23% of all federal contracting dollars must be spent on small businesses. And what we see every year, and 2007 was no different, just a few weeks ago, the Small Business Administration released their 2007 Small Business Goaling Report and Scorecard, showing that for another consecutive year, the government fell short on that 23% goal. And it was very interesting, the same day a Washington Post investigation came out showing that out of a small sample that the Washington Post looked at for small business contracts that year, it was a $13 billion sample. They found $5 billion of that $13 billion had gone to Fortune 500 companies, which is roughly 40%. We estimate somewhere between $60 to $100 billion every year in small business contracts end up in the pockets of large and Fortune 500 companies and not going to small businesses as they are supposed to. And then these large companies end up getting counted as small businesses when it comes to the government's small business procurement goals. So it's a huge amount of money that is being taken out of the small business community and literally the middle class economy where most small businesses lie. It's being diverted into the pockets of these Fortune 500 companies. And that's the reason our organization exists, is to try and put an end to this and make sure that these small business contracts actually do end up in the hands of small businesses.
Well, that also artificially props up their numbers to look good to the shareholders of their companies. I mean, that's one of those no-brainer deals. Even I get that. But when we look at all of this money that's being thrown at these huge multinational corporations, and now they're talking about the bailout for the automobile industry. Next in line will probably be the airline industry and every other industry that's going to be suffering here. Is there any chance that they talk about Wall Street versus Main Street, and you can't get more Main Street than the small businesses. Is there any chance that somebody out there, some lone voices in the wilderness will finally be heard when it comes to the small businesses? Because that's what makes America tick.
No, absolutely, Dave. You know, small businesses really are the drivers of our economy. There's almost 27 million small businesses in the United States right now. And it's kind of funny because it becomes almost cliche at times hearing that, well, small businesses are the backbone of our economy, but it's absolutely true. And historically has shown that small businesses are the ones that pull us out of every recession that we've been in. So I'm hopeful, and we're hopeful as an organization that because of the economic crisis that we're facing right now, because we're seeing these large businesses get an unprecedented amount of taxpayer money to bail them out, and the small business guy who right now is having trouble paying the bills, paying their employees, is sitting there going, hey, where's my bailout? I'm not getting that. But we are seeing, I think, the climate is getting right finally for a lot of lawmakers to look at some of these small business issues and say, hey, these are very important issues. Maybe perhaps we should actually start looking at this, because I think this may be the avenue that could help stabilize our economy, put us back on the right path. I mean, it's been obvious in the 6 weeks since the bailout bill passed that has not worked to help our economy, that bailing out these financial institutions has really allowed the CEOs to keep their bonuses, and that's been about it. So,
don't even get me started on this bonus things, you know, because that was the first thought that came to mind. Because we had Chris Gunn on a couple of weeks ago. It was right around the time that Congress was bantering about this bailout.
Yeah.
And first thought that I had is when this bailout came out, I said, I'll bet you dollars to donuts that this is going to be basically golden parachutes for all these scum buckets who have run these huge corporations into the ground by paying themselves, you know, 6, 7, 8-digit salaries and then bonuses on top of that. Was it Michael Eisner paid himself a $125 million bonus about 10 years ago? I mean, this mentality is what's destroying this country, and they become addicted to this money. Now,
absolutely,
their addiction Their addiction, let me ask you this, their addiction to this money, would you say that this has forced them into corruption mode where they will do any and everything to prevent any monies going down, trickling down to smaller businesses or organizations like yours that are basically responsible for them being in the position that they're in?
Yeah. No, you know what? I think you hit the nail right on the head with that one, Dave. You know, we've seen these CEOs of these financial institutions and their executives giving themselves unprecedented wealth while everyone below them is moving in the wrong direction. And 6 weeks ago when this bailout bill came out, Chris Gunn and I sat here one night in the office and we read through the almost 200 pages of that actual, the wording of that legislation. We looked at each other and went, this is going to be horrible. There was some really terrible things in there. And then we've come to find out just last week that a lot of the so-called mechanisms that were put in place in that bill to provide oversight on where our taxpayer dollars are going, to make sure that these are not going, that we're not going to be exploited by bailing out these financial institutions. And none of those mechanisms have actually been put in place. President Bush was supposed to appoint somebody to oversee this. He is not. Congress was supposed to put together a panel to oversee this bailout. They have not. So we're seeing, while the legislation itself calls for this oversight, it was calling to make sure. I mean, I remember they were promising us, oh, well, as taxpayers, this money will not go to CEOs' bonuses. This will not go to bail out the executives of these companies. And that's exactly what we've seen happen. So in a lot of ways, you know, we were sold a false bill of goods, and it's kind of turned around to bite us because now the taxpayers, you and I, we have given so much money to these companies, and nothing that was supposed to happen has now actually happened. And in some ways, it's unfortunate to say, but I think what we're going to see now is perhaps a call for more support going to small businesses, going to those at the bottom, because as we've seen, that's going to be where the growth in our economy is really going to come from. And in order to really start stimulating things and to start moving in the right direction, we need to start building from the bottom up, not from the top down. And so because it's unfortunate to say, but I think because of this bailout bill and just the scam that it was and the fact that things have just kept getting worse, now I think there's sort of a call, while a lot of legislators aren't quite sure what the specifics are to do yet, they know that what's been going on has not been working, and we need to refocus and put their attention in other places. And I've been spending a lot of time on the phone with members of Congress lately talking about some of these. We were hopeful that this week, when they come back in session, that there was going to be talk of an actual small business stimulus bill. That, I think, has fallen to the wayside in the wake of this bailout of the automakers. But at the same time, I know that there is starting to be greater attention. And some have said to me that perhaps now it's almost the perfect storm, if you will, to really look at legislation and to look at some of these measures to put in place protections and help for small businesses that may not have been considered even a few months ago. We've been working on a draft bill with Senator Boxer of California to address some of these fraudulent contracting issues that have been going on, making sure that small businesses are the recipients of small business contracts. And in shopping around some of the language for this, a lot of the legislators have been very supportive. And I think this is a necessary piece of the puzzle that's going to be the overall picture to help pull us out of the current recession and the current economic crisis. So in some senses, I think, you know, it's deplorable. And as you said, I mean, I'm just get infuriated looking at in some ways, Dave, you said it. I mean, this bailout bill was essentially a bank heist by the Wall Street firms of the American people. And
the American people were held hostage. I mean,
absolutely.
I can't think of a better way. They were saying, hey, look, if you don't do this, you are looking at a collapse of darn near biblical proportions. And despite
absolutely.
The fact that they've given out this money, we look at the list of stores that are closing or closing their stores. Eddie Bauer, Talbot's, Gap, Circuit City, Foot Locker, Levitt's, Bombay, Zales, Disney, Home Depot, Macy's. I mean, the list goes on, and where's this going to leave the little guy? I don't know if we could pull this one out of the nosedive. We're going to take a 4-minute break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Everyone knows that omega-3 should be an essential part of our daily diet. With so many different methods of consumption, how do you choose a simple yet effective way to get your daily intake? The friendly, knowledgeable folks at North American Nutrition have the answer. Nature's Gem Premium Omega-3. Unlike other flaxseed, our golden flax is grown on our farm in northern Minnesota, providing cooler temperatures and longer summer hours, producing the highest quality premium golden flaxseed around. In addition, we selectively harvest and sort flax seeds by size and weight, keeping only the best seeds that can produce the highest abundance of omega-3. The result is a delicious, nutty, buttery flavor. Nature's Gem Golden Flax is pure. There is nothing added and nothing taken away and non-GMO. We offer a 100% money-back guarantee. Order Nature's Gem Premium Golden Flax today at goldenflax.com, goldenflax.com, or call 800-387-5516. That's 800-387-5516. Free shipping included.
Another untold story, here it comes. Another untold story, here it comes. Another untold story that you've not been told from. AnotherUntoldStory.com.
Can you say Shibboleth? Well, once upon a time, in a real-to-life war story, if you couldn't, you died. That true war story is told in the greatest of storybooks. It's been told that in World War II's Battle of the Bulge, there was enemy infiltration. In Europe, it was a war between racial kinsmen, and in that battle, specially trained German soldiers who spoke fluent English put on GI uniforms and mixed in, causing a mix-up, great confusion, and considerable casualties, until a series of questions were developed to determine friend from foe. Well, that is sort of like the old Shibboleth war story. Racial Hebrew kinsmen were fighting each other and got mixed up, and no one could tell who was who. So a password of sorts was formed. Shibboleth. One side could say it, and the other could only say Shibboleth. For more on that untold story, and for the Shibboleth that must be used today in the war between good and evil, go to the website AnotherUntoldStory.com. The greatest storyteller said to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. The use of this modern-day Shibboleth will sort them out. For more information, go to website AnotherUntoldStory.com.
For another untold story, go to AnotherUntoldStory.com. 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 AnotherUntoldStory.com.
I know, I can feel it. This time it's real. We've been talking about it for years and years and years. We knew that sooner or later we'd see that economic collapse and the dollar would fall down and the corruption would finally come to a head. Well, guess what? It really looks like it's happening. Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Power Hour. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, we're talking with Kevin Barron from the American Small Business League. And, Kevin, a couple things I want to get to. First of all, when we look at this G20 meeting, I mean, this is where all the big boys all get together and they have their powwow and they chew the fat and they talk about where things are going to go with the world economy. First of all, what is your take on this, and is there anything at all positive to come out of this for the small business owner?
Well, my take on it was definitely an interesting show. I mean, I have to say that it was very good to see that Bush called this summit meeting and invited the top 20 to come in, as opposed to like the G8 summit that we see every year. So you get a little bit of a broader perspective, especially on a lot of those newly emerged global economic powers like India, for example. Although at the same time, I think that in some senses, this is, I want to say, Bush's last stand, so to speak. I think he's wanting to go out. He knows he's a lame duck. We've got President-elect Obama waiting in the wings. I think most of the world leaders were wanting to speak with Obama, who they're going to be dealing with for the next 4 years. And I want to say in some senses, in just my own take of it, it seems like this was Bush's chance for a little political theater so that he doesn't come across as being the Hoover to Obama's FDR, so to speak. I don't want to necessarily put that label on Obama as of yet, but, you know, at least Bush is trying to position himself as, hey, you know, he recognizes that we are in a global economic crisis. And maybe something should be done, although I don't think anything very substantive actually came out of this summit meeting. Could be a very useful tool as far as the first of maybe future meetings to come, being that this group of leaders getting together and talking about how to solve some of these issues. But as far as any real solutions right now and in the short term, I don't think that was accomplished at all this weekend.
Well, there are a lot of folks out there that see this basically as a chess meeting session.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, what else can you call it? I mean, we didn't get any information out. The mainstream media talked it up and talked it up, and then they had the meeting, and then everybody says, what do they talk about? They go, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sounds to me like it was, like you said, a photo op and sometime, you know, a little bit of time there for George Bush to stand in the limelight.
Yeah.
Let me switch gears here. The Washington Post basically used to be, you know, the mover as far as reporting government scandal, you know, what was it? Not Whitewater. What am I saying here?
The Watergate scandal.
Watergate, thank you. It has something to do with water, okay. but now they're more like a PR firm. Now, what's this deal here with this contracting scandal? McCain, Obama, I mean, nobody's talking about it, and it looks like the Washington Post is sort of saying, oh, yeah, so what? All right, let's move on, and in other news.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, it is kind of sad seeing that the paper that did break the Watergate scandal kind of back to this. I mean, it's sort of a mixed blessing. When the SBA released their 2007 contracting numbers, I'd mentioned this a few minutes ago, the Washington Post broke a story with our help and providing data to them showing that a large number of small business contracts, billions of dollars worth, have ended up in the pockets of Fortune 500 companies. And we were excited to see that on the front page of the Washington Post. At the same time, the Washington Post failed to mention the fact that over 15 federal investigations since 2003 have come out showing that this has been going on every year. In 2005, the SBA's own Inspector General said that the diversion of small business contracts to large companies and these companies getting credit as being small businesses is one of the biggest problems facing the entire federal government and the SBA today. And yet it seemed the Washington Post really downplayed this fact. They never mentioned the federal investigations. They never mentioned any of the hearings on this. And they really downplayed it and kind of bought into the SBA's line. And the Small Business Administration came out and said, oh, well, you know, we know that every year there's a small number that get miscoded or it's a mistake. We've been hearing that for 7 years now, that it's just, it's a simple computer glitch or a simple, you know, miscoding error that has allowed billions in small business contracts to go to these firms. And I got to tell you, Dave, you know, after 7 years of hearing that, it just doesn't play anymore.
Well, you know, the shock value is gone. I mean, there was a time when the Post would report something like that, and everybody would have their, you know, get their knickers in a knot, and that's a good thing. But it seems that they report more and more of this on a daily basis, and people get anesthetized. And finally, when they're breaking stories like that, it's like the American people go, "Oh yeah, so what? So what else is new?" You know, maybe we've just been conditioned to accept it all like that. We've got to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in 3 minutes with our guest, Kevin Barron from the American Small Business League. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
How much food do you have in your fridge? How long would it last in the event of a nationwide crisis? SurvivalGearSource.com is America's number one source for survival kits and supplies. SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has everything you need to be prepared. Get your storable food at SurvivalGearSource.com. We've supplied thousands of Americans with our ready-to-eat meals. Sealed, portable, and will last for years. Get your portable flameless ovens for cooking. Get your ultra-portable survival kits now. Tailored for 1, 4, 10, or even the 100-person deluxe kit. Prepare for nuclear and bio terrorism with a complete terror protection kit, including gas masks, biosuits, potassium iodate, a solar hand crank flashlight, radio, cell phone charger, and much more. Prepare now. Order by phone at 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. Or go to SurvivalGearSource.com. Use coupon code GCN and receive a free Patriot bar with every order. SurvivalGearSource.com.
Lead from solder and copper pipes, mercury from fish, dental fillings, vaccines, arsenic in the water. These heavy metal toxins are difficult or even impossible to avoid. Even trace amounts of these heavy metals over time can impact your health. Many health problems have been suggested as being related to this heavy metal exposure, including memory loss, high blood pressure, depression, mood swings, speech disorders, neuropathy, autoimmune diseases, chronic fatigue, and more. Unfortunately, traditional detoxifying isn't able to clear the body of these harmful and potentially deadly toxins. That's why there's PuraClear from Ripple Creek. PuraClear contains a proprietary blend of ingredients, including a cilantro extract and alpha-lipoic acid, among other ingredients formulated specifically to promote body cleansing. PuraClear also has ingredients selected to promote improved circulation to enhance activity, so that heavy metals may be more effectively captured and removed from the body. Order PuraClear now by calling Ripple Creek at 203-331-0363 or go to ripplecreek.com.
With Christmas right around the corner and an unstable economy looming, finding the right gift can be tough. Why not give the gift of an Excalibur Dehydrator? The Excalibur Dehydrator is not only economical, but also fun for the whole family. Save hundreds of dollars by drying your own fruits, vegetables, and meats. Make your own healthy snacks or start storing your own healthy food in case of emergencies, all with no added salts, fats, and preservatives. What a perfect gift for the health-conscious person in your family or for a friend who vows to eat healthier this coming year, even if that friend is you. For a limited time, receive the book Preserve It Naturally, filled with amazing, easy recipes, a $25 value free with your order. Just call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Or go to drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Excalibur Dehydrator wishes you and yours health and wellness for the new year.
A little soothing, soft, rub your belly music. Keep America sleeping. Not here at the Power Hour. No, no, no. We want to stir things up. We're going to kick everybody with steel-toed boots until they finally open up their eyes and wake up. It's Monday, folks. Just starting a whole brand new week here at the Power Hour. And Joyce, what is on special this week? What have you and Rosie dug up for everybody?
Well, we still have the Miracle 2 on special, so you can buy that for $10 a bottle. It is the 22-ounce, $10 a bottle, or the gallon, which is going to be $50 a gallon. That is a huge savings, and especially if you get the 2x and the 3x concentrated, it is the best soap that I have ever used, and I really encourage that you have that on stock. I would also encourage you to have clay and charcoal. I will tell you, I had the need of doing some clay charcoal poultices this weekend for some stings that I got, and I had 3 stings, and I will tell you, I don't know what I would have done without clay and charcoal. This time, and it's interesting because sometimes I'll use clay, sometimes I'll use charcoal. The charcoal was more effective than the clay this time. So I don't know how, you know, I keep it made up on my kitchen, the clay, and then you just can mix the charcoal and clay together, and that was really the best benefit. But I don't know how people exist without it. There's so many little scratches and cuts and problems that you get that we have it at the Power Hour. It is available 877-817-9829. Now, the gono is still on special until it's gone, but we don't have that much of it left at all. The Gono Cafe 3-in-1, the Gono Cafe Mocha, and the Gono Classic. To me, it tastes just like coffee, smells like coffee. You may not think so, but I drink instant, this is the replacement for Gano Classic, for instant coffee. Also, we've got some bee pollen, and I was listening to, an audio of, the person that has been on the program many times encouraging the use of raw foods, and his subject on bee pollen was just amazing. So I would encourage you to have bee pollen, and it's on special right now. Normally $34.95. It's only $29, and that's for 20 ounces. So call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
And we need your support, folks. As you regular listeners know, we do not accept any corporate advertising. We don't have any sponsorship whatsoever on this broadcast. We stay on the air simply because of the fact that Joyce and Rosie ferret out good products, put them up here for sale, and pass this information and the savings on to you. And that's it. We don't ask for donations. We don't take advertising. So we rely completely, totally on the Power Hour listeners and the Power Team members to keep this boat, the good ship Power Hour, afloat. So please do business with us, because you're not only getting good stuff at a good price, but you're keeping the program on the air. So call us at 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. We're talking this hour with Kevin Barron from the American Small Business League and what all this financial mess means to small business. And we'd like to hear from you. So if you've got a question or a comment, please give us a call. Now is the time to do it. 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 to belly up to the telephone bar. And before we start taking calls, Kevin, let me ask you, do you see any light at the end of the tunnel for the small businesses right now? I mean, right now we're seeing the monolithic companies one by one go down like so many houses of cards. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel, any hope for the small businessman right now with this economic collapse we're looking at?
Yeah, you know, Dave, I have to say that there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, and we always keep a very optimistic outlook here. I mean, at the same time, we do have to look at the reality of the situation, and for right now, I think that is a pretty long tunnel that we're looking at, and small businesses are hit hard, just as hard, if not harder, than most of these large firms. And especially as we've discussed, small businesses are not going to be getting a bailout from the government anytime soon. But I think what we're seeing, though, at the same time, is that Congress has recognized, in the face of overwhelming opposition to that $700 billion bailout bill, I want to say something like 85% of Americans did not want that to happen. It still happened, and we're seeing that it did absolutely no good. And so I think we're seeing a lot of lawmakers right now looking for other avenues to pursue. They've recognized that this sort of, giving it to those at the top and letting that trickle down is not working. They need to put the money into those at the bottom and let it build upwards. And that historically has worked to help pull us out and get our economy running again. And small businesses are those, I don't necessarily want to say at the bottom, but they're going to be those that are really going to help drive our economy. And so issues like ensuring that the diversion of small business contracts to these large firms ends is somewhat of a quick and easy fix to this ongoing problem. I mean, is it a complete answer? Well, of course not. But it is definitely a piece of the puzzle that I think as we start to move forward on some of these issues, lawmakers are recognizing that issues like small business issues need to get addressed and need to be addressed very quickly because these are going to be some of the most important things in helping stimulate our economy. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we're starting to see somewhat of a shift in thinking, at least
well,
on
you know,
the part.
the shift in thinking has got to, no, that's okay. The shift in thinking seems to, it has to come from the top right now. I mean, here we are. We're already one third through the money for the bailout and nobody knows where that money went. And it's just now they're starting to say, hey, wait a second. George Bush, wasn't there supposed to be some office of accountability?
Yeah, we did talk about that, but we didn't get her done.
You know, wait a second. The money's already going out the door. It seems to me that if you're going to give the bankers $700 or $850 billion frickin' dollars, that you would have some sort of accountability in place before you dole out the money. I mean, this is, you talk about the cart before the horse. This is insanity. Okay, well, we got some callers on the side here. John, who's our first caller? Okay, Stan in Missouri. Stan, welcome to the broadcast. You're on with Kevin Barron. Go ahead quickly, please.
Dave and Kevin, these small businesses are going out of business everywhere. We've got a flea market up in Windsor that just went out of business. It's just not small businesses. It's a movie gallery up there in Windsor, Missouri, is going out of business, too. They just can't compete with Blockbuster and these corporations like that.
Okay, so you're saying that the local video stores are going out of business.
Yes, they are, sir.
Okay, yeah. Your comment, thank you for the call, Stan. Your comment, I mean, this is just another one of those trickle-down deals, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think, you know, what we're going to start seeing more of is these large firms start folding. It's going to be small businesses that are going to step up and have to fill in that void. So it's unfortunate. It's somewhat of this swing right now because we are seeing a lot of small businesses go out of business just as quickly, if not quicker, than these large firms. But as these large firms start to collapse and they cut back or they go out of business, then it is going to be left to a small business to fill in that gap and fill in that void. And so that's where we need to recognize that some of these, our thinking needs to go to. As far as ways to help stimulate our economy, it needs to be focused on small businesses. It needs to be focused on middle-class America, on those more towards the bottom, not these giant corporations, not the investment banks, but those entrepreneurs, those small businesses that are going to survive this, that are going to some may even prosper out of this, because they're going to see as these giants start to collapse, that they're the ones that are going to be turned to for business. And so we need to make sure that they get the help and protection and support that they need right now to keep building and to make sure that that base and that backbone of our economy stays in place.
Well, historically speaking, whenever there are economic troubles, one vocation or business that seems to hang through is the entertainment business. People are going to need things to be able to take their minds off of the very simple fact that time and time again, when it comes to government administration or government regulation of big business, you know, they tell you one thing, but over and over again, the government lies. So anyway, let's go to our next call, Mike in Tennessee. Mike, thank you for holding your on with our guest, Kevin Barron. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. I think you're witnessing the largest heist in the history of the world right now with this bailout bill. It's nothing but a bottomless pit, and there's no checks and balances. And people look at Bush as though he's a complete buffoon. The man's smart as a you-know-what rat. The guy has it down cold, and he's taking advantage of everyone, and people are just looking around at where's all the money going. And it's being stolen, just like all the gold at the bottom of the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know where it went? No.
On Building 7, too, yeah. And then there was the issue about what happened. Okay, now I'm not even going to open up that can of worms.
And look at the $14 billion they gave bonuses a week and a half ago to the Goldman Sachs executives in Great Britain as bonuses. People were getting $500 million bonuses. Give me a break. And this is money that you and I will pay back and our children's children will pay back.
Well, you see it. I see it. Kevin sees it. The sad fact is that the overwhelming majority of the American people, the only thing that they are seeing is today's newspaper and who won the football game yesterday. I mean, it's
right.
Sad, but it's true.
It's called escapism. People want to escape from reality. That, you know, don't confuse me with the facts. Just give me, you know, something soft and cushy. But the solution is simple. We need to close the borders. We need to return to tariffs. We need to bring all the manufacturing back into this country and stop importing things. We need to turn the economy around that way. And gasoline, which starved the economy, taking all the money out of the economy for the last 2 years, if we nationalized it and we eliminated all the profits out of it, use it as just a natural resource, which it is, certainly like in most metropolitan cities that have utilities such as water, it's acted as a nonprofit. They have a municipal utility company that, yeah, they make money to pay their employees, but they don't make huge profits. We can do the same with our natural resources. We can bring those costs down, and people can take that extra money that they would be putting in their gas tanks, start putting it into these small businesses.
And hey, Mike, thank you so much for the call. Let me get to the take. Kevin, there is a huge move right now to end the Federal Reserve. Now, some folks are saying, wait a second, we need to get off of this fractional reserve banking system and have private bankers charging interest for loaning out money to banks. Instead, if we turn that back to the U.S. Treasury, to where it's supposed to be as far as the Constitution is concerned, if the U.S. Treasury was in charge of the monetary system and charged interest on those banks, that money would go directly into government. We could eliminate the federal income tax, and that money that would, you know, I mean, we're talking like 33% to 40% of the American people out there having their money taken to the federal, I mean, to the IRS. That would be give a jolt it would stimulate the economy and small business. What's your take on ending the Fed?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I haven't delved too much into that one. You know, there's arguments on both sides of that. And so at this point, I don't know. I don't know if Dave, I really want to comment
all
on
right.
that, but
I don't mean to throw you a hot potato, but
you know what? That's all right. I do want to say something though. You know, I can understand the previous caller who had brought up this being one of the largest bank heists in history, if not the largest in history. I think hit the nail on the head. You know, one of the things that really got me was seeing the fact after we gave AIG a huge chunk of money, their executives going on vacation to some resort in Southern California, and then coming back the next week asking for another handout, saying they needed
more. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, this was something that, I mean, this is something that we have to stop. And I think absolutely that we really need to refocus our attention into some other areas and understand that these folks at these investment banks, at these Wall Street firms, that their free ride is over. And we, especially as the taxpayers who are footing this bill, and it's our children and our grandchildren that are going to be paying off this debt, that we need to make sure that... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay because we have a ton of callers. If you could keep your response short, so we could get all the callers on here.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody wants to get to it. So let me jump to the next caller, Joe in Arkansas. Everybody, please be brief because we have like five callers in 5 minutes. So go ahead, Joe, quickly.
Okay, I agree with Kevin that the economy has to be revived by the money coming up from the bottom and not trickling down from the top. And looks to me like the whole problem is they say we need more liquidity in the system. Well, why haven't we got liquidity in the system? Because international big business with their globalist economics has got people all over the world competing to work at the lowest possible wages and sell raw materials at the lowest possible prices. So nobody's earning enough money to spend liquidity into the system. So then they try to loan money into the system. They try to push people to borrow money. And that builds up the debt. And pretty soon people can't earn enough money to pay their debts and also spend money in the stores and, you know, keep the economy going. So a small business that operates more locally and pays people well for working and buys raw materials, you know, and pays more than the world price, you know, pays a price that makes it possible for people to earn a decent living, pays a price to labor and for raw materials, you know, that's what can revive the economy. That can earn liquidity into the system.
But we're stuck in a catch-22 right now. I mean, the people don't have the money, and what money they do have, they don't want to spend. They're trying to hold on to it, and so they're not spending the money, and the economy's going down. What's your take on this, Kevin? Go ahead.
I think the caller is absolutely right. That's exactly where the focus needs to be. The focus needs to be on small businesses. The focus needs to be more locally focused in on communities because, as we've said, historically speaking, when you put money into the pockets of the local economies and of small businesses, that money is going to regenerate over and over again. And that's going to be the fact that's really going to help build our economy back up and help pull us out of this recession, out of this mess. And so that's really where the focus needs to be.
So we need to basically readjust the mindset of the power brokers out there and say, hey, look, we've got to focus on the small business because it is those guys that are going to pull us out of the fire here. Let's go to Vanessa in Chicago. Vanessa, go ahead. You're on the air. Go quickly, please.
Hi there. I just wanted to say, in follow-up to what Bob Chapman was saying in regards to taking actual possession of currency, of the silver, et cetera. I have a small silver pool account with Kitco, and I've been trying to cash out, at least get my silver bars, for the past 3 months, and I've been told they don't know when they're going to get any silver in, and the only thing that they can offer me at this point is to cut me a check for our fiat currency. So it is real. There's, you know, it's not being exaggerated by any means. And if it's happening to me, it's happening to a lot of people.
Wow. Vanessa, thanks for the call. I don't know if that's really a question or not, but it is a statement of fact and basically a description of the thing, of the way things are. So, I'm going to jump right to the next caller here. Chris in Florida. Chris, go ahead. You're on the air with our guest, Kevin Barron. Go ahead.
What do you think about advertising the suburbs to allow things like chickens and goats in our neighborhoods because we're not able to make it out to, you know, to buy a farm? And, you know, and it also would be nice to have a national currency that works, but it doesn't seem feasible at this time. So I've heard Dave, you had on your show Ithaca the Ithaca Hours community currency at IthacaHours.com. Uh-huh. You can set up your own community currency, and that would at least save you from inflation.
Well, you're talking about moving into a barter system in a self-sustainable agrarian society here, which may just happen. We got a break coming up. I'd like to get Kevin's take on that. man, things, the times, they are a-changing. Change we can believe in?
Pharmaceutical companies, doctors, and hospitals all make money from sick people. So what incentive is there for them to make you well? For thousands of years, man has used spices and herbs to ward off disease and cure, yes, cure illness. It's no wonder the drug manufacturers feel threatened by spices and herbs. The North American Urban Spice Company manufactures the products that Dr. Cass Ingram has been recommending for years. The Oregason, Oreganol, and Oregamax are working wonders for people all over the country and can work wonders for you too. According to the Quarterly Review of Biology published by the University of Chicago, spices like oregano can have a 100% kill rate of bacteria. Protect yourself and your family with the oregano products recommended by Dr. Cass Ingram. Call 877-817-9829 and order your Oregason, Oreganol, and Oregamax today. That number again is 877-817-9829 or visit thepowerhour.com. Doctors and drugs, or herbs and spices. The choice is yours. Call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowerhour.com.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with a total transformation.
After the total transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more backtalking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-330-8491. 1-800-330-8491. Call now. 1-800-330-8491. 1-800-330-8491.
The headlines are clear. The worldwide economic collapse is here. The military is being positioned for martial law. The mark of the beast is at hand. Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system. Having a long-term food solution is your only hope to stay free. Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds. For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance. That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds for a penny per seed. 15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis.
Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free.
Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
That's SurvivalistSeeds.com.
A long-term food solution.
America, land of the free, right to life and liberty.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to, can you believe it, the final segment of today's Monday installment. I can't believe it. I looked up and I said, oh, my gosh, I thought we had another hour. fastest 3 hours in radio right here at the Power Hour. And it's not hard. I mean, it's not hard to fly through this program so quickly. I mean, over and over and over again, the news stories prove
government lies.
That's right.
Well, let's get back to the callers because we got a bunch of them waiting to talk to our guest today.
Okay, our guest is Kevin Barron from the American Small Business League, and our final caller here is Lynn in Toronto. Lynn, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm a handwriting examiner who specializes in fraud and forgery in Toronto, you know, and we have a lot of big firms, law firms, big. And I'm just, as your guest was saying, the big guys are going down. And I just didn't know if there was a place for people like myself who are experts. I'm the only one in Toronto and in the whole legal area because I would like to, you know, sort of take steps there because our expertise is fraud and forgery and documents, and that's what we do. So I didn't know, you know, if you'd have any ideas. Thanks, eh?
Okay.
I'm not quite sure how that relates to the subject, but...
I would have to say my best idea is perhaps, you know, start your own business, look into, you know, all kinds of work. I think especially now that could be a very booming industry.
Yeah, I would think so.
Absolutely. Looking into fraud and forgery. You know, our organization's been pointing out billions of dollars in contracting fraud for years now. So go to our website, asbl.com. We may be looking for, you know, help from those who are experts in those fields as well.
And, you know,
okay,
I think
asbl.com is the website. Just wanted to reiterate so for the folks out there to write it down and make sure you go and check it out, asbl.com.
I'd like to see her go ahead and start with the Obama birth certificate first off.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that thing is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Let me throw that particular hot potato at our guest here. There is a growing interest right now nationwide about the legitimacy of the Obama presidency because his birth records are now under very serious scrutiny, and there's a good possibility, if not a likelihood, that he is not a natural-born citizen. What would this do to the economy if that particular piece of information hit the fan?
You know, that's a great question. I honestly couldn't even imagine where to go with that. I did find it interesting, too, the fact that during the campaign that also Senator McCain was not born in the United States. He was also born in Panama in the Canal Zone. So it kind of raised somewhat of an issue with both of them as far as talking about the legitimacy of their citizenship. But
right, but his dad was a military officer, and he was born on a military base, so they were able to get around that one. But for as far as Obama's concerned, they're saying he was born in Kenya, and his grandmother says that she witnessed the birth. And I mean, this is going to be huge. But I suppose that's a can of worms we need to open up at some other time. But Kevin, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program. We're just going to have to keep our eyes peeled. I'm sure that all eyes right now are on what's going to go on with the economy.
Absolutely.
And there is no doubt that the small businessman will be the one. If we can pull this out of the fire, it'll be to the small business. The small businesses, and thanks to the efforts of yourself and the many others out there that are working with the ASBL, hopefully we'll be able to keep the small businessman afloat.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Oh, the pleasure has been all mine. Again, Kevin Barron from the American Small Business League, ASBL.com is the website.
And
all right, tomorrow...
Dave, I just want to tell you the stock market's down 212, and they are getting really nervous.
Oh, boy. Terry Aries is going to be talking about the president-elect's national service plans. Where are we headed with this new Obama administration? We'll talk about it tomorrow. And then Eric Redland, MD, is going to be talking about getting well naturally. Oh, something that I'm sure Joyce is going to be really
hot on. He is a board-certified pediatrician, too, so you don't want to miss that.
All right, there's the music, folks. Time to stand up, stretch those legs, take a deep breath, and scream from the top of your lungs and the bottoms of your souls. We will not stop. God bless you all.
We'll see you tomorrow, and have a blessed day.